Will you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, "You, go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And at about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Father, as we gather together this morning to hear your word, we are in desperate need of seeing Jesus. All we can see around us is what we think we have deserved or what we are afraid is coming to us because of what we deserve. Father, would you rescue us from hellish accounting? And fix our eyes on Jesus, who provides for us more than we dare ask or think, far greater than we could ever deserve. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before we moved to Texas, I used to volunteer at my kid's school. And I would go over about once a week and run around on the PE field as a PE teacher or an assistant to the PE teacher. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. A little bit of exercise that I could use. But it was also really interesting to get a peek at my kids outside of the home. I was able to see them in kind of their natural environment. And one of the things that I noticed about those kids is that when it comes to, when it came time to line up, to go anywhere, whether it was to line up outside the classroom to go to the PE field or line up at the PE field to go to the classroom, what do you think the big fight was all about? It was who's going to be first. Who was going to be first in line? And so as soon as the door opened from the teacher, as soon as the PE teacher blew the whistle, there was a mad dash by all of the kids to be first in line. Now the school, particularly being a California school, tried to fix this. They didn't want everybody to be running to be first in line, and so they decided that each day the teacher could name a line leader. And so the line leader would be named at the beginning of the day, or maybe they would be there for the whole week. So then little Bobby or little Susie would be standing there very proud that they were first in line. But that didn't really fix the problem. Because what was the mad dash about then? Who could be second in line? So it didn't actually fix the problem because everybody felt like they needed to have some sort of standing in that line. Human nature is such that we are all scrambling to be first in line. First in line at school. First in line for that promotion at work. First in line in recognition. First in line in life itself. But what happens when God doesn't play by those rules? What happens when our carefully orchestrated rise to the top of the heap doesn't actually matter to God at all? Or even worse, what happens to us when it seems like God favors the slackers? Those who have given no thought to their future. Those who show no care or consideration for the responsibilities that they have. You get what Brené Brown calls this terrible parable. I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown. She is the author of many books. If you go on the TED Talks website, her talks are at the very top of the heap, so to speak. She became a Christian relatively recently, and she tells in a video how she was invited to go to this church by some friends of hers as she was a relatively new Christian, and one of the very first sermons that she heard was this sermon on the parable of the vineyard workers. And she says, as she can only say, that she was dumbfounded by the sermon. That she sat there with her mouth wide open. She said it was a terrible parable. It was completely unfair. She kept waiting for justice to smack those workers down or to lift up those who had begun working at the very beginning of the day. She said a few months later, she had been asked to help out with Vacation Bible School. And this was one of the teachings that they had in Vacation Bible School. And so she came up with a creative way for the kids to feel the injustice of this parable. She split the kids into three groups. She promised the first group $500 of Monopoly money that they could then spend in the classroom buying different things. If only they would do 5 minutes of jumping jacks. She started the next group about halfway in. Then the third group she started with just a few seconds left. Then she started paying out the money. The last group that barely did any jumping jacks got $500. And on down to those kids who were out of breath and sweaty from doing jumping jacks for 5 minutes, and they also got the $500. What do you think was the response of the kids? Not fair! This isn't fair! Don't treat me like you've treated that one over there. That's the natural response that you and I should have to this parable. But it is so familiar and you are so religious that you go, oh yes, yes. Of course, that's the way that God is. This parable confronts us with our deep sense of entitlement. Look at how the laborers react when the vineyard owner pays each group the same. Verse 10. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius, and on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. You have made them equal to us. Well, come on. On one hand, you have to have some sympathy for these poor vineyard workers. The work was long and hot. It was so difficult, in fact, that the vineyard owner kept going into town to find more workers to come and work in his field. Then when it came time to pay, he began with those that he hired last, and he gave them the exact same wage to those that he had hired first. But they had only worked 1 hour. They had barely worked up a sweat at all. But by treating everyone the same, the owner's generosity toward those he hired last was seen as an affront to those he hired first. Friends, isn't that the great scandal of Jesus? He entered the world with very clear winners and losers. He entered into a world with a very clearly defined path to winning. And then he said, the only winning that would be had is if you are rightly related to me. And that, frankly, is going to look a lot like losing. There's going to be the danger of losing your family. You're going to lose your place in society. You're going to lose the respect of family and friends. You might even lose your life with me in my death on a cross. There are no great people at the foot of the cross. Rich and poor, beautiful and ugly, those who struggle with respectable sins and those whose sin destroys marriages and reputations. Jesus even invites the religious to come and die. Those who have borne the burden of the day. Those who have withstood the scorching heat in service to Jesus. Those who have kept their browsers clean. Their quiet times intact, and their neighborhoods evangelized. We are all equal at the foot of the cross because we all have the exact same need. But normally, we don't live, we don't act recognizing that equality. We don't acknowledge that equality. Instead, we try to convince ourselves, we try to convince other people that we especially are deserving of God's kindness and God's blessings and God's provision. We conveniently turn a blind eye to our own sin and we trumpet all of our goodness, all that we deserve. If ever there was a case of someone trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, it's a Christian trying to take pride in his accomplishments. When someone who has wasted his life, when someone who has squandered his resources and generally turned a blind eye to his responsibilities is treated by God in exactly the same way that God treats me, my first response is not joy in the grace and goodness of God. My first response is rage. Rage that all of the hard work, all of the sacrifices that I have made, doesn't amount to anything in God's economy. And that's when I realize that despite my theology, despite the message that I preach, I still function in my day-to-day relationship with God in terms of reward and merit. I can't escape this sense of entitlement. As one author said, it's like walking into a spider web. It sticks all over me. This parable, though, teaches that God totally ignores what I think I deserve, even though that sense of fairness is woven deep inside of me. And that's why, like the workers in this parable, I often begrudge God's generosity. Are you feeling the unease that this parable is intended to provoke? Do you wonder, is God really like that? Is it really true that this is how God is? Friends, if you struggle with that, it may be that you, like me, have not yet come to grips with the absolute freedom of God's grace. Jesus doesn't give you a down payment on your relationship to God and then say the monthly payments are up to you. The church isn't a self-improvement society. Instead, we gather here week after week to be confronted again and again with the news that God has broken into our lives with a grace that cannot be earned, and therefore He has completely undercut any hope that we might have of deserving something for our efforts. If we don't reach that point in our understanding, in our appreciation for God's insane graciousness, if we continue to insist on the principle of fairness that is totally overthrown by this parable, my fear is that we will be trapped. Trapped by our grumbling against a God that if pressed we would have to admit that we really don't like. A God that we don't trust. A God that we don't want to be with unless it's on our own terms. This parable is a dividing line. On one side are those who refuse to accept the generosity of the vineyard owner, and on the other are those workers who came late to the harvest but just got enough money to buy a round for everyone after work. Where are you? If we're honest, we have to realize, we have to admit that we are the slackers who have been given far more than we deserve. That's true historically. As Jesus is telling this parable, He's pushing the Pharisees to help them understand the place that they are in. He's pointing forward to the inclusion of the Gentiles who have never had a claim on God's goodness. And that includes you and I who come late to the party. It's true historically. It's also true experientially right now. This parable explains the new thing that God is doing in and through Jesus. He is bringing the outsiders in. He is giving those who have no rightful, no natural claim on God's gift or on God's love, He's giving them the gift of His life-giving love. If you haven't yet experienced what it means to be loved by God in this way, if you are still struggling to come up with a proper payment for God, this parable invites you to put your faith in Jesus Christ as the one who put your deserving to death, as the one who draws you close to the God who has taken all of the payment due for sin and put it on His own side of the ledger sheet. Now, this kind of accounting doesn't work in the world. If you're a business owner, don't do this on Monday. You'll ruin your business. This doesn't work in government. We can't treat our foreign policy this way. But it's the only way that God works in the heavenly life that is breaking in on us today. You see, the only winner that the world has ever known died on a cross, so that the losers who were united to Him in His death might join Him in His life and share in His reward. Let us pray. Father, we sit here with the mud pies, with the rocks that we have tried to polish, with the filthy rags that we think represent a life worth rewarding. And we lift them up to You and demand our IOU. And yet, Father, You carefully take those things out of our hands and fix our eyes on Jesus. O Lord, put our deserving to death. Give us eyes to see our real condition so that we can see and rejoice in our real salvation. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.